We are gathered together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God who has come in flesh. Today, two Psalms, Psalms 133 and 134. And we end the songs of ascending steps today. So, Psalm 133, a song of the ascending steps of David. Behold how good and how pleasant for brethren to dwell together, and that with unity. It is like the good oil on the head, going down on the beard of Aaron, which is going down on the mouth of his tailored garments, like the dew of Hermon, which is going down on the mountains of Zion, because there Yahweh commanded the blessing, life until the everlasting. This psalm, obviously, it is short. It is only three verses. And we have covered this in its entirety not very long ago, because in our experiential body life fellowship series, when we dealt with unity. Well, we want to dwell with unity too. That's what this is talking about. But when we dealt with unity, when we treated that subject, I passed this out to you, and we looked at this psalm in its entirety. So I'm not going to spend a great deal of time on it. I will refer you to our website and the teaching in Experiential Body Life Fellowship that was the series just before the Lamentations that we are in now, and look for unity as its subject, and this will be treated in fullness. But we are covering this. We are going through the Psalms, and it's time to we'll deal with it. But I will do this in a rather fast way. It is a song of the ascending steps. By the way, these ascending steps, we've said something about this at the beginning of these Psalms that we began to look at here, and this is the same word as I've begun to translate the book of Leviticus. This is the same word that is translated as I'm going to refer to it, an ascending burnt sacrifice. So a burnt offering is the way our conventional translations usually will render it, and it is an ascending thing. That's what a burnt offering is. It's as if when the smoke goes up from the fire, like your fellowship with the Lord ascends to Him, or more accurately, without giving too much away, when the life that is represented, life of the Lord Jesus Christ that is represented in that animal being burned, when that life goes up to God, that is a fragrance for a soothing aroma in the nostrils of God. That is, God loves it. God loves that life, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. So our song is an ascending thing. It is something of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ that ascends to God here. And what is our subject matter? What particularly is ascending to God? Well, behold how good and how pleasant for brethren to dwell together, and that with unity. Look at how enjoyable, how delightful, how fulfilling, how satisfying, how affirming is the devotion and affection of one another to each as they are in this fellowship that we will see of the Spirit that is all about our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the second verse. It is like, so this goodness, pleasantness of brethren dwelling together in unity is likened to the good oil on the head going down on the beard of Aaron. This particular psalm mentions two members of the McKelvey family. David is the one whose psalm it is, and now we have Aaron mentioned. It is like the good oil, and we've said this, so this is a good deal of review from that recent teaching of this. But oil in the Old Testament particularly represents in symbol, in type, the Holy Spirit. So we've got the Holy Spirit on the head. And then going down on the beard, obviously the beard is still part of the head, but the beard of Aaron. Aaron is the high priest, one high priest at a time, discontinued from continuity because of death. The book of Hebrews makes a great deal of the difference between, or differences, plural, between the Aaronic priesthood and that of Melchizedek. So in the Old Testament, when you see Aaron as high priest, you are to think ahead of the Melchizedekian resurrection high priesthood. And so here we have oil, or the Holy Spirit, on the head. There is someone in the New Testament that is called the head. So the oil on the person of the body of the Christ who is the head. I do not believe that anybody understood this outside of the New Testament. I mean, when they're singing it in the Old Testament time, when this was sung in the temple, in the tabernacle at the time that it was written, I want to say forget it that you understand this. You need Hebrews. You need 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. You know, you need Acts 10 to get what is really being spoken about here in the symbolism. So it is like the good oil, that's the Holy Spirit, on the head of the body is the Lord Jesus Christ. But then that anointing, if you will, descends from the head and runs down to the beard of Aaron, that is the high priest, the anointed high priest, which is going down on the mouth of his tailored garments. I explained this before, but the mouth is that opening. All right, it's like your neckline is the mouth of that garment. And so it goes down onto the garments, and then the implication is that when you're here, it's going down onto the rest of the body. So what we're talking about here, in I believe the Spirit's full intention, is look how good, how experientially delightful it is when a Holy Spirit-administered Christocentric unity is experienced in the members of the body of the Christ. It is like the dew of Hermon, which is going down on the mountains of Zion. It's like now you're talking about extremes. You've got a high point up north in the high Israel, and then you've got a high point down in the lower part of what all of Israel would be, what David reigned over, in the Judean country, the extreme south, that is Zion. So you've got Hermon in the north and Zion in the south. Just before our teaching here, I was sitting next to Hannah, and I'm thinking, my Hannah has a beautiful singing voice. And so when I left, I told Hannah, I said, you have a beautiful singing voice. But it's very high. And I'm right next to her. Okay? I said, we ought to sing a duet sometime. We'll be the two extremes. Whatever you're talking about, here you got two extremes. You've got You've got Herman and Zion. You've got Hannah and you've got me. You've got the gifts in the body of the Christ that are hidden. And you've got the gifts that are prominent. You've got the service gifts and you've got the sign gifts. You've got the gifts of utterance and you've got the gifts that deal with perception. And all of those being comprehended. It's like the dew of Hermon, which is going down on the mountains of Zion. That is, it's like this dew. Dew is the symbol of vitality, refreshment, life. Dew is water, right? It's water that is, it's one form that water takes, or one way that you see water. And water is equated with life all of the time in the Scripture. So we have this life. They look like they're two very different figures that are being used, but when you understand them correctly, the figure of verse 2 and the figure of verse 3 are very similar. Here we have life from top to bottom, and this is because there Yahweh commanded the blessing, and then you see that it is indeed life. Life until the everlasting. This is where God commands a blessing, where brethren dwell together in unity. There's already a blessing where there's unity. Behold how good and how pleasant it is. But when God sees that, he says, I'm commanding life to jump off the scale there. Look at how they're united. It's kind of like if we could look at it in a negative picture. Babel. Let us build for ourselves a tower so that we can make a name for ourselves. And they're all one. They're all unified. And God speaks with himself in Genesis chapter 11 in intertrinitarian dialogue. Come, let us go down. Sean and I were talking about sarcasm. I think, was that today? There, yesterday. I think that's divine sarcasm, too. Because God, they had said, come. Or I like to translate it, I think this is more natural. This is the way it is. It's more realistic. Come on. Let's build for us a tower and make a name for ourselves. And then when God sees this, he says within himself, come on. Let's go down. Do you see the irony in it? Come on. Let's build a tower that will reach up into heaven. Let's ascend. And God says, come on. Let's go down. Let's descend. And mix up their language. What's the problem? Because they are all of one, they're all one and of one lip, literally. Nothing that they propose to do will be impossible to them. Yeah, people created in the image of God, even fallen, when there's unity, there's next to nothing that they can't do. And if that unity is in the manifestations of that which is fallen, God's got to say, we've got to throw a monkey wrench into that. We've got to mess that up. Because there isn't anything that their evil won't be able to accomplish. Note, though, at Pentecost, you have exactly the opposite. You have this oil, first on the head of the anointed high priest, our Lord Jesus Christ, when at Pentecost that oil, the Holy Spirit, descended into the body, now there was unity. They were all together in one place, remember in the book of Acts, with one passion, with the same passion. And they all spoke different languages, and God said, let's make those languages no problem now. Let's make it that the advent of the Holy Spirit in the body of the Christ, who's talking about the Christ, and you've got the Holy Spirit ministering the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got hearts that can't get enough of Him soaking up the Christ, this life saturated with this water of life. God there commands a blessing. He says, let's let life exponentially multiply off the scales there. Because look at them. They're all absorbed with the Lord Jesus Christ. They're all about my Son. The two most Christocentric persons in the universe, God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, say, bless that Christocentricity down there. Bless it with what? Bless it with a good and how pleasant unity that, like, further it. It's there already. Make it go off the charts. That's what we want. That's what we want to see. Psalm 134, a song of the ascending steps. Behold, bless Yahweh, all servants of Yahweh, those standing in the house of Yahweh in the night. Lift up your hands in holiness and bless Yahweh. Yahweh will bless you from Zion, the one making heavens and earth. This is a song, it says so, the song of the ascending steps. But think of this, think of how you'd take this, if it were being sung. And if you're like me, you're listening to the words, you're kind of, it's not like it's a sterile thing, but you're analyzing the words. You're thinking, what does that mean? What do those words mean? And that's kind of what we're doing as we study the psalm. But in one sense, a lot of the songs that we sing, you just know what they mean, like, right away, right? I mean, you hear that, you register that, and therefore you sing it, and you sing it without, most of the time, without any problem. Every time I think of that song, that we are, I think it seems to me that I have a comment every time that we sing that last song that we sang. That hymn. But I always think of this one, and then I don't think I've ever mentioned it when I get up here. There's a verse that is in, I'm sure it's in those hymn books in the back there, that we never sing. And it starts off with, here I raise my Ebenezer. What's an Ebenezer? Well, it's an Eben Etzer. And when you anglicize it, you get Ebenezer. But an Eben, or an Eben, is a stone, and Etzer is help. And so it means stone of help. After a prominent victory, the children of Israel set up a stone marker, set up a monument, and they called it Eben Etzer, stone of help. And the hymn is saying, we are raising up an Ebenezer. We're raising up our Ebenezer. It's not the same Ebenezer. Although what it talks about is it's the same stone. It's our Lord Jesus Christ. But our monument, like our remembrance of what God has done for us, our Ebenezer is this thing rather than that one that was in the Scripture. These songs that we sing, these songs, you kind of, they're songs, and some of the, I mean, I know that they're psalms, so there's doctrine in them, and there's things in them that are sometimes hard to understand because they're inspired psalms of prophets. It's prophecy in song. And actually, I'm even thinking of this thing I heard of years ago, years and years ago. That'd be about 40 years ago. Was a new believer, and there was somebody played this song, this Keith Green song, and this particular program that was on, this man said, if you ever wanted to hear prophecy in song, that's it. that's what it sounds like. And I remember exactly what that song is. I understand why the man said it. So we're not saying that there aren't difficult things in songs, inspired ones in the Scripture. There are. There sometimes are. But most of the time in the Psalms, you pretty much can read it, especially if it's translated well. You can read it, and you've got the idea of it. And now you can just sing it in freedom. All right? Let's act like we're about to sing this. Let's act like Psalm 134 is projected up there, and we're seeing it for the first time, and we're singing it. Behold, bless Yahweh, all servants of Yahweh, those standing in the house of Yahweh in the night. Hey, when you go into the temple, bless Yahweh, all servants of Yahweh, everyone who is a servant of Yahweh, then particularly those standing in the house of Yahweh in the night. That is, those who find themselves in the temple at nighttime. The New Testament house of God, the New Testament house of Yahweh, is the body of Christ. It is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here we are. We're in the church. We're with a church in the body of the Christ. It's nighttime. So, bless Yahweh. Lift up your hands in holiness and bless Yahweh. This sounds like 1 Timothy 2, doesn't it? Where Paul says that he would that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Lift up your hands in holiness. Now, I should tell you this as well, that there's something of a judgment call here. And the way that I have rendered this is the minority of rendering. If you're looking at a conventional translation, probably this is looking like lift up your hands in the holy place or in the sanctuary and bless Yahweh. I want to tell you that that is absolutely viable. That's perfectly acceptable. Because this word means either holiness or the place of holiness. And the context is what's going to tip the scales for you as a translator as to how you're going to want to render this. In this case, I have to render it some way if I'm going to render it. I can see both of them. I can see either one. So, what do I do in those situations? Well, in those situations, I say, if both are equally valid, but you're used to reading it the other way, let me be the person that gives you the option to see it in the alternative. And so I put this down here. Lift up your hands in holiness makes sense, and lift up your hands in the holy place makes sense. The only thing that I would say would maybe lead us to translate it this way, and that therein I have it, other than the other, is the absence of the definite article. That is the word the in front of the word holiness. So lift up your hands in holiness. You might expect to see the and then this word, the Kodesh, here, and if it were the holy place. And that's not perfectly, that's not absolutely inviolable, though. Sometimes they do refer to the holy place without the article. So I want you to know that that's a valid translational option there. Lift up your hands in holiness and bless Yahweh. If that is the holy place, then that the context actually kind of makes you maybe want to go that way. Verse 1, we're standing in the house of Yahweh in the night, and his servants, at least the ones that would be there at nighttime, you're probably talking about this house of Aaron. And so lift up your hands in holiness, or lift up your hands in the holy place and bless Yahweh. And then verse 3, Yahweh will bless you from Zion. Again, you're talking about the temple. Yahweh will bless you from Zion. Why from Zion? Because Zion, or Jerusalem, is where that temple is. Yahweh will bless you. I want to tell you things from Leviticus 1, but I'm going to hold back. Yahweh will bless you from Zion, the one making heavens and earth. Now, look at this contrast here. It's kind of like Hannah and I again. All right. Yahweh will bless you from this down here on this little speck of dust here, this spot on this speck of dust. And he is the one making the heavens and the earth. All right. So look at the contrast there. You've got somebody down on the earth, but this is the one who transcends even the highest that you can go into the heavens. The one making the heavens and the earth is said to have manifested his presence and therefore to dwell in Zion. He is the place of propitiation in the temple. He is our Lord Jesus Christ, where that manifested presence of God is seen in its Shekinah. One having ears to be hearing, let him be hearing.